Greenberg.
When Alex had Yorma Taccone do a viewing of MacGruber at Row House Cinema, and we went that night, that was Alex DePuel, a local comic.
Didn't Alex have a tattoo of the license plate?
KNBR. Yeah. He saw Yorma Taccone, whose wife was directing the Mr. Rogers film here in Pittsburgh. He saw him at a restaurant in Lawrenceville or something, and he went up to him and showed him his tattoo, and Yorma was blown away. And so he basically talked him into doing that viewing of MacGruber, and Bill and I went. I felt a little better about how much I loved the movie, knowing that there was a theater
full of people
that loved it just as much.
If you've never seen the movie, whenever you hear us on the show say, guys,
yeah.
That's what it's from.
Randy Bauman and the DVE Morning Show.
And you know, the only person who makes me laugh harder than Will Forte is Frank Caliendo, who joins us right now on the show.
Guys. What?
You probably didn't hear the...
No, I heard it. Oh, okay. No, I heard it. I still said, what? I'm trying to change it from guys to what? Don't you realize how much... I'm like two steps ahead of...
I should have known.
No, I just turned it into that because I really didn't know how to reply, and I was looking for... I'm still stuck on Gene Steratore, and I want the entire... NFL, I'm totally anti-Mike in this. I want the whole thing done from somewhere else. I want the whole league officiated by aliens. By alien Chris Berman.
We're going to need a translator on this one.
No, but I was looking for laugh there because it was getting too serious. But this is the thing. I really do think if there is one thing that I think could be officiated from afar... is some of these, but the second guy always gets in trouble, right?
Always.
Couldn't you get rid of that? You could get rid of that. Yeah. You could get rid of that easily. Take it away from the on-field officials, not the first downs and that kind of stuff, but take away the those types of those penalties that I can't even think what they're called because I'm
retaliation.
Yeah, but retaliation. What's the first thing it's called? You know,
provocation.
No, flagrant. What's it called in the NBA? It's a flagrant. In the NFL, it's a personal foul. And a personal foul. I had to see. I'm still translating from. The other thing that I was listening to the Gene Steratore. I'm learning a lot from your show today. Is because we do the turkey dinner as well.
Yeah.
But I remember, as a kid, because I'm Italian too. Bill, your mom's side is Italian,
yeah.
Or are you Crofiardi or something?
No. My mom's side.
We were once the Crofiardis, but much has changed over many years. That's almost my Chaz Palminteri right there. What's that all about?
I didn't know you did it, Chaz Palminteri.
I didn't know it either until one time I started doing it, and somebody said it's Gene Simmons, just made it more Italian.
And suddenly Craig Gass was here.
I'm doing Chaz Palminteri. Don't worry, I'm not stepping on your material.
So, Gass just shot out of bed in Seattle.
Yeah. Next thing you know, I'm doing the most amazing Tom Arnold in history. Yeah.
You know, Chris Farley and I.
Who's that going to be?
That's Pablo Francisco. Get ready. Boy, am I excited.
So I was getting out of bed. I was not out of bed. Then I was out of bed. Then I didn't know if I was in bed. Get out of my tortilla.
But he's Italian on his mom's side.
Yeah, so I was just thinking back to days. Thank you for getting me back on track. I was just thinking back to days when we used to visit my Italian side of the family in Chicago, and we would go down to the basement. Did you have that, Bill?
Like, oh, yeah, down in the basement? Yeah, the finished basement with the shag carpeting?
Yeah, with shag carpeting. I don't know. There was a second kitchen down there, and you would have to literally cut through the smoke Just like everybody was smoking down there,
and nobody talked any different than this. You know?
those were the women. That was and then we had an Uncle Vito, and everybody was down there. And I just remember going down there, going, "This is the world I want to be in." And I did. I never got there.
Do you, now that you're older, when you get into the holidays, do you just let yourself go and enjoy it, and just go hog wild and deal with the consequences after the holidays? Or do you try to maintain and, you know, work out during the holidays, eat a little bit? Because, you know, it's really hard to hold back.
I'm medium fatness, Frank, right now. So I'm not at my, you know, I look at some of these pictures of me and I go, dear Lord, why didn't anybody tell me? And then I realized there were a lot of people making money off of me at the time. So, So in terms of, I try to be a little better, but then I do this every day. I eat really well every day until about 7 o'clock at night, and I go, oh, cookie dough. I didn't know we had that. Oh, it's old. Yeah. Who cares? Let's try
it. Right.
I'm trying, because I want to take some new pictures, so I'm trying to lose some weight again.
Right. Because you don't want to use a headshot from 1998.
I do want to use that. Yeah. I actually do. I think Paul Rudd does, but his still works.
Right.
People, last time I got headshots, people complained that I was, you know, using really old headshots. I'm like, no, these are actually me after I've lost some weight, because I was massive. There's like, I have pictures of me and Tom Cruise, and it looks like I'm going to eat him, and this is the one thing he can't outrun. Every movie, he's outrun something. But with me and The Tonight Show, I'm like, come here, Tom, I want to see. Is it true? Is everything true? Let's go.
But you were never like Will Sasso big.
I was huge. No. Google Frank Caliendo fat. You Google Frank Caliendo fat right now, you will see that you don't remember me being as fat as I was.
I don't.
Frank Caliendo fat.
Yeah, Crawford's right on it.
Oh, yeah. Of course he is. There's a lot of payback.
I want to let people know, Frank is coming to town December 2nd. Get your tickets, frankonstage.com, at the Carnegie Music Hall of Homestead. And that is only like 10 days away. I cannot believe that.
Yeah, it's crazy. I think we started talking about 6 years ago. No, actually, this was not one that was moved. They were like Philly shows that I've moved like three times since, you know, 2020.
Yeah.
This is one that came up later. But then I'm going to be in with you guys next week, too.
Yes.
I'm going to be choosing music.
You can do whatever you want. A lot of people don't. Yeah. I prefer you just came in and I'll take the day off.
Well, no, please don't do that. I need you to be part of what I do. No, I don't know what I
do. Now you have Jim Nance and Tony Romo. Like everybody, like the Tony thing. Every time I think he's intentionally doing that now because you made him do it.
Well, I told you about him calling me, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, he does. Does he do the Tony now?
Yeah, I've heard him do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I missed that. I missed him do the. He's done it a couple times in the past years, but he's done it this year. Have you heard him do it this year?
I swore I heard him do it on Sunday, but you know what? My head.
Yeah, and whenever he gets excited, it's like somebody plays with the volume dial. I've told you that before, and he goes to the sideline. But since I can't really say a lot of words as him, and I have never, for me, it's you work on the impression by, and you guys both do voices. When you work on the impression, you say a certain word over, and then you turn it into a phrase, right? So you just keep, it's a ton of repetition. It's like anything. You break something down. Like, I've been working on Peyton Manning. And when you say Peyton Manning, the word I found is weird. These guys are kind of weird. So it's got like two phases to the word weird. Eli, that's kind of weird. That's weird. So there it is. That was it.
That was it.
I got that one. So, and you know it when you hit it because it'll make you laugh, right? So it's that, it's you finally get into it. So
he kind of sounds like Buffalo Bob or Buffalo Bill from Silence of the Lambs.
Oh my God.
He has a little put the lotion in the basket in his voice.
I still want to do the show, so I don't know.
Yeah, you should be on Manning Cast. We talked about that last time you were on. You're the perfect guest for them. You're doing all the promos. You might as well be on.
Yeah, I think it would be fun. But they, you know, they have high level. They had Kevin Hart on last night. I didn't ask for this. You know, he's just he's just going off on tangents about himself.
But why not self-promote if you get on there?
Absolutely. You should. That's what that you know that is. And then Bill Parcells was on, and people were saying, "Why isn't he saying okay?" I'm like, "Because I made that up. That was how I got into Bill Parcells." You know,
when we had a player. Okay, that can play at a higher level. Okay, we would take a guy like a Lawrence Taylor, and Lawrence Taylor would have the ability. Okay, to just come in and disrupt. So we would just say LT, which was short for Lawrence Taylor. Okay, and then I would tighten my belt. And my belly.
You know, so that's the verbal one thing. Comma.
But you know, you talked about this before, like when you unlock those impressions and you get like he doesn't even say okay.
No.
It's like it's Dana Carvey doing gonna do it or at this juncture.
And that's how you know somebody's stealing from you with an impression, because they're doing your catchphrases that might not even exist. You know John Holmberg
I'll tell you what, John Holmberg is as impressive an impressionist as just about anybody I've ever seen.
He
blows me away, yeah.
And the difference between me and him is that he usually takes the words that people say and uses them as the catchphrase. I'm okay. I'm still doing Bill Parcells. Okay. Whereas I tend to make words up that the person hasn't really said. So when we actually started doing Romo and Nance together. He didn't have Romo, but he started going, "Here we go, Jim." So he was saying that together. And then I looked on his Romo's Twitter feed, and it said, "Here we go." And we're doing these together. We're just messing around, just going, "Here we go, Jim. Here we go, Jim." Mm-hmm. And then he's like, "Oh, you do it way better than me. Just use the 'Here we go, Jim.'" And I was like, "Okay, I'm not gonna stop.
Right.
Then. I'll do it." And then I started doing Tony. So, and then my take on Romo was actually the full take on Romo was. His, you know, telling the future a little bit. We had Tony Romo going into the future, but he could only go 3 seconds in the future to save lives. So his earth saving ability was limited. But then, you know, Romo just loves, "Oh, Jim, this is incredible and amazing and amazingly incredible and amaze-incredible. Here we go, Jim." Tony! So it's, you know, and John and I, Holmberg is the guy, John and Holmberg and I think very similar, but he's like an evil version of me. Like if I didn't worry about losing all my corporate dates and stuff like that.
He's definitely not worried about that. Yeah.
Oh, no. So, and then when we would do the podcast together, which we'd taken like another 8 month sabbatical, cause I just can't do anything for more than a week. When we do that, it's, you know, we just get together and it just becomes it's like jazz, you know, you just start riffing and doing silly stuff.
How much
just,
do you do that on stage now though? Like when you are doing those shows now, do you allow yourself the windows
way
to
more,
improv,
especially clubs? You know, this theater that I'm doing, or is it
Carnegie,
actual theater?
Oh yeah, yeah. It's beautiful. Oh, yeah. It was built in 1909. It's gorgeous.
Is it in Homestead?
Yep.
Is that where it is? So is it down there in
about a mile from the improv.
It's up on a hill.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so it's right around there. Okay, so perfect. So I know where it is. You know, you feel like you have to be a little more cordial, I think, at a theater. But I'm messing around. I'm definitely messing around a lot more now because I'm trying to find new stuff. And the club, I will goof around completely and go on tangents, and I don't care if I lose people. At the theater, I'm gonna go around and mess around a little bit, but I definitely care if I lose people. So
I think people are into that though, Frank. Like I saw you doing Rex Chapman's podcast, and you were going through the evolution of a voice where you tweaked it just a little bit and went, I don't know where it started, Kermit
it's
the Frog,
almost everything starts with Kermit. How you hold Kermit the Frog here? When you do that. Then it becomes John C. Reilly by just changing it a little bit. I don't even know that I could do that. And then, did you touch my drum set? And then you're gonna have to call me, you're gonna have to call me Dragon. and then it becomes Mark Ruffalo. I see this as an absolute win. I have no idea, Tony. And then it the furthest is Rogan, like, wow, Jamie, pull that up. Oh my God.
Oh, dude, that's awesome.
That's effing nuts. Why would somebody effing? Oh my. Like, that's a wildebeest. Oh, my God.
It's always an animal attack.
Yeah. It's a wildebeest fighting a lion. Lion.
It's hard in the morning to get down there. But yeah, there's the old one that I used to always do is George W. Bush. You just bring it down a little bit.
So
Tara Bradshaw. And then give it energy. Give it energy. And it becomes Chris Rock. I mean, it's...
But you know those are great, and I don't know why one on one those kill with people, but when you do it in an audience, I don't know, maybe I just don't time it right, because conversational laughing is different. You know, like when somebody comes on and does material on the air with you guys, it's you can feel the material, right? Sometimes some people are so good, their material is so good they can make it work. But 99.9% of us comics, you can kind of guess what's coming as a as a person in entertainment on the radio.
I always kind of just give whoever's on with us the option, like if you want to burn through material, because some people feel more comfortable burning through their material. They want to have a very confident appearance, and other people like yourself, you know, we'll come on and just riff and go off.
Well, that's because I burn so much with you guys. All right.
go ahead. What are we going to say? But you know what I mean? Like, there are some people who they find it more comfortable to just, you know what, I'm going to lean on my own stuff. I'm going to, fire that all out, and then I'm out of here. And other people like to just see what can happen. And I don't care either way. I know, like, there are some radio shows where they want to know. It's like Carson. We need to know your set and every word and how long it is.
Yeah. I mean, but I also have the puppet show that I can just go to. You know, I just pull out, the trunks and start grabbing puppets out of there. And suddenly, then all of a sudden there's something to go to that can save it. Or Morgan Freeman wraps it up and we realize how much funnier this would have been had Frank actually prepared.
FrankOnStage.com is where you get the tickets to see Frank at the Carnegie Music Hall of Homestead on December 2nd, and you'll be in studio with us on that day, right?
Absolutely. Next Thursday, I'll be there making everything better. That's what I do.
That's what you do. Frank Caliendo, FrankOnStage.com. Always a pleasure, Frank. Thanks, man. We'll see you next
week. Thanks, guys. See you soon, buddy.
Cam Hayward coming up 8:45. Billy Gardell in the 9 o'clock hour. It's Randy Bauman in the
DVE Sports.
Yeah, Mike Pursuta's got now on the DVE Morning Show. What's up?
Sports Talk brought to you by Dormont Appliance. A pretty cool event going on today in the spirit of the holiday season. The Buccos, Steelers, and Penguins are getting together for hashtag Bird Proud. It's a Thanksgiving meal distribution event that's taking place today from 10 to 12 down at the Mazeroski Way cul-de-sac adjacent to PNC Park. And they're going to be handing out holiday meals to families in need.
That's great.
The event
super cool.
Takes place in partnership with the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank and Giant Eagle. It will continue while supplies last. Representing the Steelers, scheduled to represent the Steelers, head coach Mike Tomlin, also Zach Gentry, Dwayne Haskins, Ray McLeod, Chukwuma Okorafor, James Pierre, Benny Snell, Cam Sutton, and Chris Wormley from the Pirates. David Bednar, Donnie Kelly, the bench coach, alumni Steve Blass, and Neil Walker, and broadcaster Greg Brown. They're giving away turkeys! From the Penguins...
Butterball coming!
Clear the deck!
From the Penguins, Colby Armstrong.
Trip the fan!
Christian Hansen, Greg Malone, Eric Tangrady, and Brian Trottier. How do we get to have Brian Trottier as an ambassador? How lucky is that? He should be an Islanders ambassador, but he's a Pens ambassador.
Yeah. How many rings here? One?
Two.
Two?
And four, then four
over there, yeah.
It's pretty cool. The Trots is everywhere. Saw him last week.
He's the best.
Turkey Trots.
Boy, you're full of them today.
You're firing.
Jesus.
Trip the fan is phenomenal.
Make sure you cook your turkey or you will get the turkey trots.
Pens beat the Jets 3-1. They completed a three-game swing through Canada, winning by a combined 11-1, 6-0 over the Habs, who in this case are the Habnots, 2-0 over the Leafs, and 3-1 over the Jets last night. Danton Heinen authored the game-winning goal against Winnipeg and then talked afterward about a three-game trip that potentially reestablished who the Penguins are and what they want to be.
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, we started playing better hockey and, you know, got some time to hang out together and kind of, you know, get closer as a team. So I think we can build on this for sure.
First three-game winning streak of the season for the Penguins, all three in regulation. The penalty kill leads the NHL at 89.6% after a two-for-two effort last night. Tristan Jarry completed the longest shutout streak in the league this season at 161 minutes, 33 seconds before finally allowing a goal midway through the first period. So a lot to like about the Pens game of late, but head coach Mike Sullivan maintains it can be better, that they still have another gear and another level.
Well, I think there is. You know, we're still bringing guys back into the lineup there. You know, and these guys, they're getting better with every game that they play. You know, you can just see their games coming. I think we just got to continue to, we got to raise the bar. There's a standard that we're all trying to, you know, hold ourselves accountable to. We're going to continue to push that standard, and that really is the message, and that's the expectation. So, by no means is anyone satisfied here. You know, we were pleased with the effort tonight. We're going to see what we can learn from it. We'll move by it and get ready for the next one.
Vancouver's in town Wednesday night. See you at the rink, and more importantly, prior to the game,
Shales.
See you at Shales. Happy Thanksgiving.
Nice.
Cam Hayward, when we come back, live here on the DVE Morning Show. Your radio home of the Pittsburgh Steelers, 102.5 DVE. Our next guest, sponsored by your neighborhood Ford stores. From the Pittsburgh Steelers, Cam Hayward. Cam! Good morning. What's going on?
Just waking up. How we doing?
Oh, doing all right. I mean, you know, all things considered, doing okay. Got the holiday coming up. A little disappointed in the way things ended up on Sunday night. But also, kind of proud of the way that you guys stayed in there and battled, you know.
Hell of an effort.
It didn't look like it was, you know, going to be possible, but boy, that fourth quarter was nothing if not entertaining. My first question for you, Cam, is this. Do you need me to help you come up with some post-game quotes? Because when you said, I don't think I tried to punch him, it kind of sounded like, what should I say here? Now, I personally thought you just jabbed him a little bit, like a love tap. I didn't think it was a big deal. I wouldn't even think it would have risen to the level of being a punch as much as you were just kind of, you know, giving him the business. But do you have any recollection of that, or were you just filled with rage because that other guy was trying to pull you off?
Okay, so I was first ticked off with the other guy trying to pick me up because I was honestly dead tired. I couldn't even get up.
Right.
I was exhausted trying to run all that those yards. I was more ticked off at him, and I didn't even realize I did it because I saw the video in the locker room afterward, and like I'm seeing everybody say I punched them, and I didn't even know I did. I didn't even think I like punched him. Like I couldn't get my footing, and like I fell back on him.
Mm-hmm.
So I know it looked worse than it did, but I was like even on the field after, I was like, "Wait, y'all throwing a penalty? What happened?" And they were like, "You're lucky we don't eject you." And I was like, "Wait, what?" I was so confused by it. You know, he was like, "We're looking to see if we're ejecting you." And it kind of threw me for a loop. Because I didn't even know, like, there wasn't a grunt or anything. It was just me trying to get back up.
They threatened to eject you over that. That is shocking. It didn't.
You're not allowed to throw a punch.
It didn't look like he really threw a punch, though, to his point. I thought he just kind of gave him the business. That stuff happens all the time.
Gave him the business.
Hey, it was more of a punch when Najee took that shot to the head from the forearm. That's an ejectable.
It was a forearm shiver.
Yeah. I didn't even see that till after the game because it was so quick when it happened. But man, it did look good.
The your punch or the one on Najee's head you're talking about?
The one on Najee.
Yeah. That play, people are going to talk about that play for a long time when you chase down Justin Herbert from behind. I remember watching it live and thinking you were so far removed from the play, and then there was a second where you're like, there was almost a half second of resignation, and then you just took off. And I'm not sure if you thought you were going to be able to catch him, but not giving up on him obviously mattered a great deal. You had two guys laying on the ground there. And it seemed to me that that play kind of summed up the Steelers' defense for the evening. Cam was all over the place doing everything. The other guys were knocking themselves out of the play.
I'm no one to can't absolve me from that play, too. We had a check, and we were still running the stunt up front. And so we were all discombobulated because it created a rush lane, and then he took off. And in that type of front, our DB's backs are turned, and then he started cutting back. Once I saw one of the guys miss the tackle, I really just tried to get after it.
Cam, you said after the game that you suspected Herbert was looking for something on those runs. It looked to me like he was exploiting either stunts or edge guys getting too deep and getting behind him and just kind of recognizing there were lanes and then exploiting them. Is that what you saw when you reviewed it?
Yeah. Or whether he just saw man right away. And, when you see man right away and, you don't want to try to make the tough throw, you try to escape with your feet. And, there was a couple times we ran the stunt and he was already out. And it did not look pretty.
I know we had a lot of playmakers out of the lineup, Cam. Are you still playing good cop with some of the guys that are stepping up?
Good cop, bad cop, whatever cop at this point. We just got to find a way to win. I love our battle, but, man, I really wish we could have got off the field again on that last drive. Communication has to pick up. And we say this every week, but, you got to beat a dead horse. You got to, I got to expect the same things as I expect from, TJ Watt to the next guy or Joe Hayden or Minkah Fitzpatrick. I know they've, been big contributors in this league, but, man, the next man up mentality, I got to expect that.
Another batted ball for you this week results in an interception from the other Cam. Now, when you play Justin Fields, you were saying that you noticed something in his game that made him prone to, being vulnerable to a block. Was there something that you saw from Justin Herbert, or was that just you were just making a play there?
Well, I changed up my rushes a little bit throughout the game. Anytime I got like a two-man rush or where I got the slides with me, I was becoming more of a spy guy. On that play, I long-armed him, and then I created an extension, and he was looking directly at me. When he was doing that, I was like, just thinking I got to get my hands up. I think Bugs had gotten a couple of batted balls early on. Just one thing led to another. Luckily, Cam Sutton picked the ball up. The ball was in the air forever.
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 I think we had one of those either versus Oakland, versus Vegas or Cincinnati, and it was just staying up there. And I don't think we got that one. But this one, I was trying to find the ball. It looks like literally I was just like I was dizzy out there because I couldn't find the ball for a second. But man, Cam Sutton got right under it, gave our guys a short field, and we were able to capitalize.
You were getting push all night, Cam, and I was just wondering, were you chirping Matt Filer throughout the game?
No, Matt doesn't talk at all. So even in his time here, Matt's never talked. So, I was more just trying to catch my breath. It was something, the weather's great out there, but man, was it dry. you know, my asthma was a little bit hectic, but, you know, there wasn't a lot of talking, I don't think.
Cam, you're going to see some more quarterbacks the rest of the way that can do what Herbert did to you in terms of escaping the pocket. What's the key to tightening that up?
You know, rushing with our arm, our hands and our eyes, creating extension. You know, I think sometimes, you know, you can bury your shoulder in there and try to rip through, and then you get pushed back past the quarterback. You know, I think the best thing we can do is learn from this and, you know, be better because of it. We're going to play some very mobile quarterbacks, and we got to have a lot of success versus them or, you know, it's going to be a long day. We gave ourselves a chance to fight at the end, but, man, we let them out some long third downs.
And you had done – I mean, you handled Josh Allen pretty well, I thought. Justin Fields didn't dominate that way. It's within your reach to play it better as a group than you did Sunday, correct?
Yes, yes. You know, you know, we have to be better because of it. You know, it was not pretty. And I'm you know, just as guilty as the next guy. Got to be better in our rush lanes.
All right. Thanksgiving on Thursday. What is your ideal way to consume leftovers?
Oh. You mean throughout the night?
Or? No. It could be later in the day, on Friday, Saturday. Because I'll go all the way to Saturday with them. I usually won't do Sunday. I can do 3 days, and after that I'm turkeyed out.
Well, this is the thing, though. Like, my brothers, they are the worst. They, like, you know, if they get a chance to eat, they're constantly, you know, going back for seconds and thirds. And, you know, that's the way we grew up. If you're going to eat something, you better eat all of it because somebody else is going to come
right
and pick it up.
So, you know, you're unfamiliar with the concept of leftovers. There's never anything left.
There's leftovers, but it's like – my brothers take a nap, and then they go back for more. And I'm like, damn, where's mac and cheese? Like bro, yeah, a can of this. Why is there none left? And they act like they haven't eaten, you know, all year long, and they've just been saving room for Thanksgiving. So
not
you know,
so many,
the last thing that's on the table is usually turkey, you know, and usually we're making sandwiches. So,
yeah,
that's about it.
Miracle Whip or Hellman's?
Miracle Whip.
Oh, man. Not a fan.
You like Hellman's?
Yeah. Miracle Whip's too tangy.
No comment.
Not a fan. No, but I'll do the sandwiches. Like, the first day, I'll make the whole plate, and then I'll put gravy over the whole thing and put it in the microwave and try to heat it up. And the gravy never really heats up that well like that. The best way to do the gravy is, like, in a pot. The next day, put a little water in it, like, rehydrate it a little bit. But after that, it's just straight sandwiches.
Oh, you got to go cold sandwich.
Yeah, tons of mayo. Oh,
yeah,
lettuce, tomato, sandwich. Boom.
Sauce. Maybe hot sandwich with few sauce on it.
Yeah, that's
and
a pretty good way too.
So good. Oh man,
don't sleep on the cold sandwich with potato chips on it though.
That you sound like my wife. She loves potato chips on every type of sandwich she can get.
Mm-hmm. That is underrated. It's pretty good.
Nice, go to
nice little crunch.
Our Giant Eagle is really cool. You know, they've got a cool deli. You get the sandwich toasted, and they make the best like sandwich. It's like ham, turkey, bacon on it, banana peppers. And then what I do is I go to the chip aisle and I'll grab like the what is it? The sweet
kettle
chili
chips?
Doritos.
Oh.
And you put those on them. Oh my gosh. Now that's a game changer.
Sweet chili Doritos. Right?
Oh, yeah.
You get those dusty fingers with those things.
Yeah, you put them on the sandwich.
Cam, well, look, I hope you have a great Thanksgiving. Are you doing it with your brothers, or are you staying tight or with the family locally? Or is,
hey, your one brother shouldn't be talking to you after Saturday.
Man, I kept it really PG with them. You know, I just told them rest up and get ready for the next game. Man, that was a shellacking, to say the least.
Cam, it wasn't that close.
You know, the funny thing is, like, everybody's got group chats, and, you know, me and my brother in a couple group chats, and they just kept telling me, Mel Tucker better assign the DocuSign at halftime, because that game was not a good game.
Yeah, what do they do with that money? Like, do they start to think, like, you know?
No, that's the reason we need to pay this guy so we can beat them someday. That's
yeah. If he can't beat them, you ain't going to beat them. The guy just got embarrassed.
He's a good coach. He's a really good coach.
He's a really good coach.
But that was not a good game.
I haven't seen a receiving corps like that in college ever, I don't think.
Yeah.
Those three guys, are, you know, they're all phenomenal.
I think LSU had one when they won. They had Justin Jefferson.
Jason Jefferson, and I can't remember who the third guy was.
I know. But, man, these guys, they were, you know, it didn't help that Michigan State, one of their corners had gotten hurt, and they were playing a freshman. You know, they...
Cam, they could have been playing Mel Blunt, and it wouldn't have made a difference.
Yeah, very true, but, you know, glad that was my team.
Well, just do it again Saturday, and we'll call it even, all right?
Yeah, you know. Now we got a common enemy, so we got to take care of them this week.
Cam, last thing for you. Have you ever thought about, like, really upping your fashion game on NFL Sundays and going with, like, the Kyle Kuzma, like, big, huge
oversized
sweaters or anything like that?
No. You know, I'm very comfortable in my Crocs most of the time on the road. You know, and the only reason I have Crocs is because I got them, you know, my agency got them to me for free, and so once I got a pair, I was like, "Let's try them out." But now I can't take them off. You know, every chance I get, I'm wearing my Crocs, and I think that says a lot about my fashion, right?
What's so great about them, Cam? Just are they comfortable, or just the ease with which you can slip them on?
They're comfortable. The ease you can put them on. You know. The fact that, like, there's a sport mode on them and, like, they don't fall off the feet.
What is a sport mode on Crocs?
You move the little handle to the back, you slide your foot in, and then your foot will never come off your foot.
Oh, yeah, you pull the thing up. Okay.
Yeah. So, like, and then, like, when I'm taking out the dogs, I can just slip them on real quick, or if I'm by the pool, slip them on real quick, you know. You can tell I'm very relaxed when I come to my shoe wear. You know, I have all these shoes at my house that are very nice, but I choose to wear Crocs.
We got to get you an endorsement.
Yeah, that sounds like an ad campaign.
I know. I choose.
I have a lot of really nice shoes. Instead, yeah. I wear these.
No, I don't think people in Crocs would like that.
Or something.
Cam Hayward, Croc enthusiast on the show this morning. Hey, man, seriously, have a great holiday, and go get them on Sunday. We'll talk to you next week.
Get them Saturday, too.
Yes, sir. We got to get them this week. Let's go.
All righty. We'll see you. Cam Hayward, sponsored by your neighborhood Ford stores on